This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Yeah, we want to take you higher today on Motormouth Radio, friends, because you know what? When you're low, there's nowhere else to go. So we're going a little higher. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Long Island's only automotive talk show. Chris, how's everything going in your dacha? Try that again, brother.
There okay. I am. All right. Hello. Hello, everyone.
Yes, Howie. It's good to hear you.
You know, it's good to be heard. Yeah. Good to hear you too. It's funny because I've been chasing this cough.
Oh.
And I have like on cue laryngitis. So I could be talking to you normally and then all of a sudden I sound like Barry White.
That's nice.
I'll be like, hey Ray, how are you? Hey baby, how are you? I know it comes and goes. So please put up with me for this next hour
we've been putting up with you for 20 years. Come on, what's another hour gonna, you know, no big deal. What the heck? There you go. And certain things we found can trip it. And if you want to trip your car sensibilities, you can give us a call at 516-572-7440. Or follow us on our social media platforms. We're Motormouth Radio, if you didn't figure out already. And that's on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And we're Real_MotormouthRadio on Instagram, because we just had to be different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very true. So it has been a week, huh? A trying week.
It's been a terrible week. For the people who don't know, our circle has gotten a little smaller. I say this all the time. The car guys, we're in a circle, and like you had mentioned so eloquently to me earlier, on this radio show, we've developed a circle that's grown that we didn't even realize how large it is sometimes.
Yes. And, no, it's true.
Yeah, and we did lose one of our own chassis, John. You'll hear him on the bottom of the hour break. He's the last bit we always play where it says, you know, you might learn something.
Yeah,
that's chassis John, for those who don't know. And we did lose him this week, way too soon. Way too soon.
Oh, he's also in the promo at the beginning of our promo at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, right. That's right.
And it really, I think it exemplifies who Chassis John is in two words, because when I found that one bit when he called the show and he went, "Hello, gentlemen," I was like, "There you are." That completely encapsulates who Chassis John was. He was a warm guy when you knew him. That's for sure. But quite a loss. Quite a loss this week.
And, you know, being a New York Italian, you know, like we are, you had to be on his right side to be on his fighting side. And if you weren't, yeah, he could be warm and fuzzy, and he was a teddy bear, but he could be a granite, you know, a rock of granite on the other if he didn't like you or didn't, you know, and that's kind of what we do. You know, it's, I don't know if you want to call that one of our faults or weaknesses or endearing qualities up here. It's, you know, Chris, you grew up in Brooklyn. I mean, that was the capital, I think, of, of stuff like that.
And it generated there and just fanned out.
Yeah, and it wasn't really a racist thing in any way, no. Although it did, you know, it could cross racial lines many times, but it didn't have to because, you know, we've always said, like with car guys, hey, if you're one of us, you're one of us. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, you know, you're there. So, yeah, John epitomized that. So I do have a couple of clips that I had that I had taken that we could maybe we'll use on today's show to kind of do a little tribute.
Just to show who he was and how he interacted with us and on your Playing in Traffic show on Thursdays, which he was as far as I was concerned, he was a star of that show, one of the stars of that show.
Right.
So he was the one that really kept the conversations going. He had the knowledge, and that's what I always appreciated about John when I listened to him. Whenever I would listen to Playing in Traffic, and just to hear how he would build a situation or describe a problem, and then go into what he had done to deal with the problem in many ways. And John always said he didn't like stock. He didn't like to use any sort of stock parts. So I guess part of the magic of what, or part of the joy of what he did was he loved to solve the problems his way over what the factory did. I mean, this is the way John's mind worked, which I found astonishing, was that the factory has legions of engineers and designers that are putting together vehicles that, you know, stock is the way to go, at least in my eyes. He was above that.
You're right, and that's the argument that you and I had for many years, you know, when I've been building cars and doing things. You say, why don't you do it stock? And I said, because if I do it stock, I wouldn't want to drive it. And, you know, and John was kind of that. Well, he was a race car builder. He built chassis and for some of the fastest street cars. He owned one of the fastest street cars on Long Island back in the day. He has that honor. And, you know, in that world, it's an aftermarket world. If you don't make it, or you buy it from another fabricator or craftsman who does make it, you buy it from a company who made it or sourced it from somewhere else. That's the world. So, you know what? I'm glad you intro'd that. You want to hear that bit? Would you like to hear that? You want to take a little trip back in time?
Sure.
I don't remember. I don't have a date on this because now I'm pulling all this stuff off the internet from Playing Traffic, and they don't date the shows on there, which is driving me crazy. But
yes, that would drive you nuts.
I know. So I don't have dates. I'm going to work on doing that during the week and get some more stuff. So you know what? Let's listen to this. Let's listen to John talk to you about exactly that. This was from Motormouth Radio, not from Playing Traffic. Here we go. Kick it, John.
But you're my inspiration because my Chrysler has been messed with as well. There are things that I don't know what mechanic has worked on this car, but what butcher, I should say, worked on this car previously. But it's nothing compared to the heartache that you go through from some of the sordid stories I hear you tell. But I'll start unwrapping wires in my car, and I'm like grumbling, and then I think to myself, this is a lot better than what John is doing. This is a lot better than the torture that man is putting himself through.
Well, you see, there's the difference. You will try to work with the existing, you know, let's say components or wiring from the factory from way back when.
Yes.
Whereas I'm the kind of guy that cuts it out and puts it in the garbage pail because there's new stuff that can be bought. In other words, originality doesn't exist in my lexicon other than the fact of the way the body actually looks.
Right.
There's the originality. I don't mess with stock. Stock stinks in my world.
Chris, if you want to follow a good advice from John, just watch what he eats for lunch, because this guy eats good. He does. He eats New York in Florida. I tell you, he eats good. Yeah, that was it. I mean, that was so, and there's a little taste, if you will, of what we got into. We didn't really get into it on this show too much because, of course, our calls with him were shorter, but on Playing in Traffic toward the end of the show, you know, I did what was called the after show after the first hour of scheduled show. Then I carried the after show, which was another hour. Then it went to 2 hours. You know, and we still do that. We'll go to midnight on Thursday nights. And it was usually John, Matt Goman, Brian, myself. There were a couple other people who had been involved in that. Terry, our good friend Terry Wilson, was involved sometimes later. And now we have Justin Airbets from up in Michigan, from American Gas, a hot rod shop. He comes in, and I got a good outro from him. He did an outro this week. He said he was shaking his shoes doing it because it was, you know, but he nailed it. Another true pro. So that we would always go to, like we've done on this show in the past, we'd always go to food. Maybe it's because it's getting late. You get a stomach grumble, you're getting a second wind, and now we start talking about stuff. I got a couple of those clips. Maybe we'll play one later, but if you want to call and get in on this, 516-572-7440. And have you done any car stuff this week, Chris? Have you?
Oh, have I ever?
I have been
the automotive maven this last week because I had so much to do. Just to bring you up to date, I had the issue with the small rubber seals on the fuel injectors. I told you I had.
Yes.
I was replacing the fuel injectors on the Explorer, and I took the fuel rail, and when you're supposed to push the fuel rail into the intake manifold, you're supposed to squeeze it in and push it in tightly because the seals are big and they need to cling onto the wall of that hole, and you push in there and you're supposed to lubricate them and all that good stuff. And when I took the fuel rail and I hovered it over the holes, it just dropped right in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, that's not good. Gas is going to get through that. So, so I took the fuel and I realized that the rubber grommets were a beige color. They weren't the bright orange that I had taken off the old fuel injectors.
Right.
So I went to an auto parts store du jour and bought the ones that I needed. I ordered them, obviously, because they were not in stock, but I ordered they were specific to the utility version, the police version of the car, at least that's what I was told. So I got the bright orange ones and I hung them on to the existing fuel injectors, the new fuel injectors that I had already in the fuel rail, and I pushed it in. It was fine. It went right in, no problem. It actually went in the same way that the old one came out. So I knew I was in the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And I plugged everything back in because I had already taken that intake apart, I think about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I had already taken it apart. So everything was really cleaned and dialed in and threads were cleaned. Everything was already massaged. So I was able to put everything back together the way it was. And it went together literally in no time at all. Got in, fired it up. It hasn't given me a problem since.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm very pleased. I got new coils in it, put new plugs in it, and put new fuel injectors in it. It didn't take me long. The price was under $200.
Wow.
Yeah, the coils are made in China.
Yeah.
So yell at me for that. But
Time will tell. You're gonna tell us. You're gonna yell at yourself.
Oh yeah. You know? Oh yeah. I will let you know. But the car, the Explorer has got a kick in it it's never had. It literally lights up. I mean, it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Like almost original, I would say. It doesn't even have 109,000 miles on it.
Sure.
I thought it was a money well spent.
Well, those are the things we talk about where when you drive a car all the time, doesn't have to be every day, but all the time for a number of years, as performance degrades, and it will, you don't notice it because it happens slowly over time. I mean, if something fails, yeah, you got it. You know, brake line breaks, you realize you have no brakes. But as your brakes get a little softer over time, you don't necessarily notice it as much until maybe somebody else gets in the car and says, hey, how come the brakes are so low? I didn't notice. That was the case. And case in point with my FJ, it was new to me, so I didn't know, I didn't have a baseline, but I drove it. It drove fine. Started right up, took off fine, until I changed the spark plugs. And believe that three of the six were original with 130,000 miles on them.
Whoa.
And changed them. The car still started right up. Like, wow, no difference there. But when I drove it, it just had it was like a little quicker to accelerate. And I'm like, that's what I wasn't feeling, but I didn't know. So.
Yeah, you weren't aware of it because that was not your baseline.
Right, right.
If you pulled it out of a dealership with no miles on it, there's your baseline.
Right.
You know, if you bought a brand new vehicle.
Right. My baseline here is this. Also the phone. So let's go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
What's up, Bob?
Good. I'm fine, thank you. I'm offering my condolences on one of your great contributors, Chassis John.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, It's funny, too, because whenever he was on the phone, I'd always pick something up. And also, whenever he called you, he was under a car or under somebody else's car. He's always doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, he was working in his garage lot, building chassis and stuff. So, yeah, John was, you know, he was busy guy. You know, ran a business and still did this stuff on the side. He was rebuilding two cars after he just got done rebuilding a car for a friend up in PA, a Camaro that's a gorgeous build. That ends up being his last build, actually. So,
I had two quick questions. I'm not going to keep you because I know others are going to want to call in. He was a Floridian, right?
Well, he was actually a New Yorker, a native New Yorker who moved to Florida, yes.
He's a transplant.
Okay.
Yeah, he relocated.
Okay. I'm sorry for that loss. Additionally, you had said that he had fabricated one of the quickest streetcars.
He owned it.
Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, look up. Well, he has a Facebook page on it, too. It's... I got me drawing a blank.
I'm looking myself here.
Say the name every week. We say it all the time. I can picture the car. It was black, you know, with the pink and blue and stripes. Oh my God. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm looking as well. I'm looking as well. I found
part of it on Pirate Coast.
Oh, that's a new one.
Found part of it on Pirate Coast. But I didn't. I was just curious to what he. I was curious to what.
The car was named Half Breed.
Half Breed.
So if you look up Half Breed the Resurrection, that was now his newer Facebook page that was going to detail the rebuilding of it, which now, you know, did not happen. But yeah, if you go back, that was in the 90s. He sold that car, I believe, in 92 after he won the fastest streetcar title from Hot Rod Magazine. There's all sorts of archives of that online also. Sold
cool.
it, and then he ended up buying it back a few years ago, and now he was going to resurrect it because there was a lot of stuff that he did top-notch, no other way, and it was changed to being total bogus. So he was going to rebuild that car again. And the cool thing was the car started as a 70 Firebird, and then after he was rear-ended on 231 back in the day, he decided, hey, you know what? Let's come back. We got to rebuild the car. But let's put he put an 81 nose and rear section on it. So the car came back as an 81, and people thought he had a whole new car, but all the mechanicals and chassis and all that were the same. It was the 70 under 81 skin. So he kind of did a little rope-a-dope on the crowd. And
I remember that being discussed on your program. I mean, just that's a. Boy, he's flipping people out on that. So anyway, guys, I wanted to wish you a happy Sunday. I'm sorry for your loss. And thank you for sharing your Sunday with us.
Yeah, well, Bob, thank you. Thank you for contributing. It's always a pleasure. We value you just as much.
Yes, thank you, Bob, really.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
You know, it's funny. What I loved about watching John and talk about those cars, when he was on Playing in Traffic, he was quite the marketeer because he always set himself up on the video at his bench, but the cars were always behind him.
Right.
And you always saw the progression of those cars as every week.
Right.
And almost that was like... one of my draws to the show. I would just watch John to see where the car was, and usually it was the 70 that he was.
That was probably the Camaro he was building for this guy Rocco. That's probably right. So you basically you're saying that was the part that kept you awake.
Yes, okay, that was the part that kept me awake.
All right, just want to make sure. Well,
because sometimes you saw that 70 Firebird right side up.
Yeah.
And sometimes you saw it
right
on its side because it was on the rotisserie.
Right.
And sometimes you saw it kind of upside down. So it was kind of funny. And he never changed. It was always the car.
Right.
Like he was still in the black T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So that was the deal with that. And, of course, those videos are on Playing in Traffic, which is up on YouTube. There's an archive on there. And we have a link on motormouthradio.com if you want to find it. You'll see, you know, like I said, we would typically, like this show, we would have guests and talk about car stuff. And then after the first hour is when, like I said, that show had two faces. Then it actually had three faces because the second hour was kind of a continuation. We used to make it the music hour, which kind of, because John and I are drummers and Terry's a drummer. And I thought Brian was a bass player. I really did. He just looked like, but he's not. So I kept saying we had to get Brian bass lessons. anyway, then we ended up going to the food. So, and you can hear it. I got a clip here I can play for you. You'll hear me. You can hear my punchiness. It's almost midnight. I was ready for bed an hour before. And then we start talking about food. But John would perk, right? You know what? All right. This is part of a bigger clip, but this is a real quick one. It's a real quick hit. Let me give you this. It's just 36 seconds. We're talking about, let's see what we got here.
All right. So don't follow us home because it won't end up good either
or
way.
Else,
but
right?
If you got Entenmann's. Coffee cakes, let's talk. I got Justin, coffee. I got
Brian, coffee. What are your words of wisdom for tonight? What's going to take us out of here?
Don't leave that up on me. We don't have that much time.
All right. So then we're going to be.
I got to go fix a sandwich. That's what I'm going
to
do.
That's what you need
guys
to do.
Next week, and see you on Sunday on Motor Mouth Radio. We'll catch you all then.
Guys, all right. Take care. Be safe.
See ya.
So there I am doing Motor Mouth Radio drops on late in traffic.
That's funny.
I was like, I think I fell down after that. I don't know. But John was right up there. He would always rise to that occasion. And I think Brian was a little punchy, too. You kind of heard it in his voice.
Oh, yeah. But,
he had to go run credit cards after that, so he had money to make. So he woke. I'm sure he woke up after that. But
that's funny.
Yeah.
No, but it's true. It was one of those things that I found that he was easy to listen to, and he was easy to follow. And I'm actually on the site now, The Half Breed, The Resurrection, and just to see the pictures and the just some of the shots of that car, of that Firebird, just extraordinary of the build, of how he built it, and the detail involved in it was just extraordinary. And it's a shame because that wisdom is gone. The wisdom we could have all shared.
John was an excellent welder, MIG and TIG weld. He was a very, and it was funny because he kind of fell prey to the same stuff we all did. I mean, he did this for a living, but just recently in the last year, he busted out his big old Miller welder and he stopped using it years ago because he was having trouble and he thought the welder was bad. And I guess now with a fresh approach, and we all do this, he asked some questions of somebody else at a welding supply store, and they asked him, are you using this or this, that, whatever. He made a few little changes, and he goes, it was like night and day. He goes, I was using a couple wrong components, you know, and now I changed it up, and all of a sudden, he goes, I'm welding better than ever. It's like a whole new thing. And I was like, wow, you know, so even the pros can get complacent in stuff, and he admitted that that's what happened to him. And now he's laying down these, you know, roller coin welds again. So, I was happy. I said, you know what? I'm happy with one thing. I said, all right, you got the problem solved. Great. You're going to build another car, a beautiful car. Great. That's all that's secondary to me. The thing that I found best was now, you know, in your 60s, you're still as good as you were back in your 30s and 40s, maybe even better because you have a better eye and feel for it. And I was glad to see that personal achievement, you know, because I've had some losses in my dexterity and things, and I've gotten better with certain things and gotten worse with certain things. And whenever I do something good, I was like, yay, this is a good, that was a good one.
I know it's true. And just for the fact that any professional can still learn.
Yeah.
Any professional, anyone that's respected in his field can still leave himself open for more knowledge.
Right.
To advance his talent. That alone is impressive to me because that says, I'm a professional. I don't have to learn anymore. No. That's not a professional to me. Professional keeps learning and keeps advancing and keeps growing with the field. And I think John was like that. And it's kind of funny you should mention this because I had a tangle with the Chrysler this week. I was trying to time it. I ran it. I had to use the Chrysler as like a parts car.
Uh-huh.
Because everything else was down. The Explorer was down. My little tracker was down. I needed to get tires on the tracker. Mm-hmm. So I threw the tires in the trunk of the Chrysler, and I drove over to the tire shop with the tracker tires in the trunk.
Oh, good.
And I'm like, car's a little sluggish. I'm like, why is it a little sluggish? So I brought it back to the house, and I figured I had to go back to the tire shop with another set of tires because I couldn't get them all in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that far. It's like a 15-minute drive, so it was no big deal. But as I'm loading the tires, I said, you know what? I'm going to try just seeing where the timing is. Mm-hmm. And I swear to you, I go to look at the timing mark and I can't find it.
Oh, wow.
I got the timing light on the one cylinder and I'm like, look at that. I'm like, let me go get my other glasses. Mm-hmm. I go get my other glasses. I come back. I put my reading glasses on. I try it. Can't see it. All right. Let me put two glasses on. I'm famous for walking around with two sets of glasses on my nose, bridge my nose around the house because it's like, I can't see anymore. So then I go get the light. Now I got the mm-hmm. light on and I'm like, ah. This is making me crazy. I don't know where the timing mark is. I said, you know what? The heck with it. I undid the distributor. I loosened it up. I timed it by ear.
Okay.
I went, I ran it back to advanced. I ran it one way, too retarded, ran it back right in the middle. I went, that's good. Tightened it down. I drove to the store with the two other tires. Car ran great.
Yeah, so you probably did advance it a little bit. Yeah, a couple
car
degrees.
Ran like gangbusters. I was like, starts right up. It doesn't bog. I would have this little problem. If, you know, when you like blip it, you're going to go pull away and then you kind of like stop abruptly, like someone gets in front of the car. So you kind of, it would stall.
Oh, wow.
Every time.
Wow.
I'm like, ah, and I was dealing with this. Don't have that problem now.
Good.
Don't have that problem now. So it smells better because the car had like a little richness running smell. It has a nice scent to it in the exhaust.
I'll tell you, that's what you'll get when the car is too retarded. Because my Pontiac, you know, I've been fighting with idle and timing issues, the correlation of the two for a couple of years now.
Right.
And I always said when I had the timing retarded enough that the car would idle under 1,000, that's when I couldn't be in the garage. I would die from the carbon monoxide. If I kick up that timing where it wants to run and now the idle comes up, now it's cleaner. So, yeah, that's what you did. You advanced it a little bit. Those are probably the years where they used GM used that inductive light, that inductive probe on the car. Which reminds me, I was at the UD yesterday. I spent a bunch of hours over there. I actually got to do some work at the UD yesterday.
What?
Yeah, well, I had to pick up some paperwork and of course see the guys. There's no bad time to go. There's no bad reason as long as you see your friends. That's always,
sure.
Believe me, that was well worth my psyche, rejuvenation. Yeah. But, Doug had to do he bought another vehicle and he wanted to do a throttle body cleaning. So I said, hey, listen, you gotta do work. I'm like, don't let me stop you. In fact, let me help you. You know, you want some help? I'll help you because give me something to do instead of sitting around.
Right.
So we did. I gave him a hand with the throttle body cleaning and Johnny brought me a sandwich. Oh man. He was in an Italian. He called Doug and he said, you know, I'm at this market. You need anything? So Doug says, me need anything? I'm like, what? What? He goes, well, it's an Italian market. I'm like, what do I mean from a market? Lettuce, bread, eggs, what? He goes, no, they got a deli. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, sandwich. I'm getting hungry. Mortadella and ham. Ooh. On a club roll with mustard and lettuce. I'm like, nice. Good. And man, this was like, you know what? You know, Chris, to get a sandwich like that, pretty much most places on Long Island, but certainly in Queens or in Brooklyn, I had no doubt that it was going to be good. And boy, was it ever.
It's going to be a mamalouk.
That was a good sandwich, I tell you. So in between scuffing down the mortadella, we worked on the throttle body. And again, got it done, got it running, and it was good to spend some time using your hands. Because I've always said, with me especially, to disconnect my brain, I have to use my hands. I have to be doing something with my hands.
I agree. Sometimes I know I have to go back and forth. I have to get off the computer and go outside and work on a car. It I don't know, that yin and yang.
Mm-hmm.
It helps.
Right.
It really helps. I can't spend all my time on a computer or all my time working on a car. I have to mix them up.
And now, more recently, I find a lot less tolerance for the electronic interface, like the computer. Even now, doing these shows, it's like I had a goal, so I didn't have to force myself. I said, okay, I got to get through this. But just to look at emails and look at websites and stuff on an old day, I'm like, all right, enough of this. You know, I'm kind of disconnecting more and more. And even with the phone and all, and that's right in your hand now. So you have to learn sometimes just to ignore it and just, move on. So yeah,
I agree.
Get back to work, do stuff in the garage. I think everybody should do that. It's a good thing.
And I had another issue with the tracker. I've been chasing that P0507 code.
Oh, what was that one?
In the tracker. It's what that code is, it's the idle is too high.
Okay.
It's sensing a too high of an idle. And it could be the IAC, which is the idle air control.
Right.
Or it could be a simple vacuum leak. Mm-hmm. Now, knowing the history or the lack of history of this vehicle, it did a lot of sitting. Mm-hmm. So I've been I tried first. I'm snipping like maybe about an eighth of an inch off the off every hose,
okay,
and putting it back on just to see, just to alleviate any potential vacuum leaks. Right. But I had left because I pulled the intake off, not the intake, the hose that leads to the intake manifold. I pulled that off, and right there was a brand new IAC valve.
Okay,
so I'm somebody like, okay, else. Someone, right. Someone already had this problem,
right?
So I pulled the valve. I pulled the IAC valve off, which is like a barrel, and it's got like a little, it's like a little pintle in the front. And I pull that off, and I noticed that the gasket was just a simple rubber gasket, and it didn't fit very well.
Yeah.
So I tried to get it on there to fit well, and I did, but the IAC valve sat a little bit away from the intake manifold.
Yeah.
And I screwed it all in, and I didn't want to tighten it too much because I didn't want to ruin anything. Mm-hmm. But I fired it up, and then it really idled high. Like, right, it was like 1,800, 2,000 RPM. So I'm like, that's a problem. So I went and pulled it off, and I removed the gasket completely, put it back on, tightened it down, fired it up. Well, the idle did come back down to like 900, 1,000, but it took a lot longer than it should have.
Yeah, it's got, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, trip the light.
Right.
So now I'm going to, after the show, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to put a little bit of like a little blue schmooze around the IAC valve, maybe because air is getting behind it because there's no gasket.
What about getting a new gasket?
Because I'm afraid that with the old gasket, with it sitting further away from the intake manifold, it affected the idle. So I just want to do like a little bit of it of like a silicone.
I would even make a gasket out of, you know, I keep gasket material at the house and I have the punches and all. I would do that because the silicone, first of all, you got to use stuff that's sensor safe, because if any of it gets in that engine, it'll wipe out sensors.
That is true.
That's the part that a lot of that stuff late in the later years, they use like an O-ring it was a milled channel, like this throttle body we worked on had a milled channel and the O-ring is in there. But, you know, you could also use some spritz and spritz around things and see if that idle changes, you know, that the old way of finding
a vacuum leak. I mean, I'm still living in boxes down here, but I do have some.
I know. The cardboard collar is very becoming of you. It's like,
thank you so
remind
much.
Me when my dog went to the vet.
It's what does Joe D call it? Auto correction fluid, carburetor cleaner. Was it not auto correction? Auto repair fluid.
I'm sure he had some great name for that, and I can't recall it right now.
Well, I have to find my box with the carburetor cleaner in it.
It's
around here somewhere. Because yes, I want to give it like a little spritz to detect any vacuum leaks, because that's what I pretty much think it is. Just because the car did a lot of sitting. So I'm trying to figure out what that may be. And that's been my new problem du jour. But it's kind of funny because now I'm getting back into like the automotive. I mean, I don't think I touched the car for like 6 months. I mean, other than putting gas in it, maybe changing an oil change or two. But that was really about it. And now I'm getting back into, I'm finding my tools again. I'm
like, good. Well, I got the toolbox out because it's the bottom of the hour. We have to take care of some business. Let me tell you that now, today, it's sunny with a possible thunderstorm this afternoon, but it's the high of 88. And tonight, it'll be partly cloudy, warm and humid, low of 77. Tomorrow, mañana, partly cloudy, high of 91, low 78. That was your temp. The time is 12:31 here at WHBC. Look at that, 90.3. And I also want to tell you that you want to listen to this week's Long Island News, Fridays at 3. You will join host Bill McIntyre and John Gallo for a look at the stories shaping Long Island community, the Long Island community, over the past week. And Bill McIntyre, of course, we know, is an announcer extraordinaire. Bill is...
Yes.
He you know, you would think we could have gotten him to come give us lessons. You're talking about professionals still learning things. Well, maybe he could make us professionals and help us, but he never did. So anyway, but you should listen as Newsday reporters and local newsmakers talk about the stories affecting Long Islanders like you and me, you know?
Hey.
So do we have an honor group of the hour?
Of course we do. Today, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Ray, it's August. Does this sound familiar? The sun is glaring. The streets are sweltering. The air is hot and sticky. And you still won't use the air conditioner in your car. It will ruin the power to weight ratio, you tell your family. Keeping it off will save gasoline, you tell your friends. You're still making up some cockamamie excuse like, we'll use it when we're wearing nice clothes on the way to a wedding or some schnazzy event. So you keep driving around wearing only a tank top, t-shirt, and shorts, which can only be painful in hot leather interiors or sweaty, stinky in velour interiors. But you don't care because you're still driving around with the windows down and the AC off, thinking you're saving wads of cash or wear and tear on your vehicle or even admitting to a smaller carbon footprint. Yeah, right. Yeah. Then if you feel that driving around in the middle of August without your air conditioning on is part of your day, you are part of the Motormouth Radio
Boy,
on the hour.
I tell you, you know how to channel. When you channel, man, you are right. Yesterday, I drove from my house on Long Island up to the UD. I did not use the air conditioner in the FJ.
What?
I opened the windows. I found when I opened the windows and opened the back hatch, I get a kind of a nice cross flow. So, and I knew I'm going to be in the UD. It's hot up there, too. There's fans. So I figured, hey, why get all nice and cool and have to get out and be? So I did. And on the way home, I did the same thing. I went native, and it was already evening into night by that point. And today, I'm doing the same thing. I'm driving with the same. I didn't use it on the way here, but so you are right. You couldn't be more right if you tried. I think so. That's good. When the Honor Group hits like that, it hits home. It's quite
the Honor Group hits home.
And also, Joe did get in touch. Joe said, yes, it's diagnostic fluid is what it is. So,
diagnostic fluid. Right. Thank you, Joe.
So I tell you what, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back. This song, I'm playing this song for John. I mean, there's so many songs I can play for John, but this one, only because of his resolve, and he always stood for what he believed in, and he would let you know it, whether you liked it or not. I mean, Facebook jail? Please, they gave him his own room. He had it was like his furniture was in there, and they just would put him back in every time because
put him back.
He was in so much. So that's he always stood for what he believed in, and that's for you, Johnny. All right, we'll be back in a half a minute or so. Motormouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC. Hit it. Oh.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Auto Vision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
You're listening to the Motormouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys one. Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motormouth.
Love the show, and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motormouth.
But I am exactly like you guys. I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motormouth.
You guys are trouble. I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our friends. Staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fount of useless knowledge.
Well, quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Vote about.
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show?
No.
Ever in the history
of mankind.
No, you
see, it's funny because Gray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris.
Motormouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
You, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motormouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
All right, you're going to see, John was right. If I would have paid attention, I would have learned something. But since I'm running two CD players, I started the song from the wrong one. This was the song I wanted to play. Not Fun, I want to play Stand.
So, okay.
He'll say it again. Come on, Select. All right, that's like the anthem from the 70s. That was something that John always professed. Believe in what you believe in and be not, don't be ashamed to profess it and shout it to the masses. So Stand. Very good.
Sounds good.
Yes, absolutely.
Words to live by.
Yeah, yeah. We all should take a page from that book. Yeah, so we are back. Motormouth Radio, 516-572-7440. You can call in and get in on this a little bit. We have some time. Let's see. We left off with your issue with your car. That was pretty interesting stuff.
You know what I did was I haven't looked at the tracker at all. I mean, much to Dougie's dismay, I just hadn't popped the hood up until this week. So once I looked at it, I'm like, okay, there are things. It looked like it sat for about 5 years. That's the way the engine looked. There were still spider webs in it, basically.
Right.
So what I did was I said, let me see what I can do. So the first thing I did was I pulled the plugs. And the plugs looked like they were in good shape. I mean, I'm going to replace them eventually.
Right.
But they're in nice shape. So all I did was clean and regap them, put them back in. And then I went over to the mass airflow sensor, and I just pulled that out. I noticed that the air filter was okay. Wasn't great. Was just okay.
Okay.
So I took the mass airflow sensor out of there, and I just sprayed it with mass airflow sensor fluid.
That's
just
the stuff.
Cleared that up.
Yeah.
Put that aside. And then I went around. I took the PCV valve out. I sprayed that with a little schmooze. Heard the rattle. Not in my head. The one in PCV valve. And let that dry. So I did all of those things. Those were the things right. I was doing. Just overall general maintenance on the vehicle. And I put it all back together again. Ray, when I tell you I started this thing up, other than the high idle, it literally idles better than any car I own.
Wow.
I swear to you. That little four banger idles like a rock. It just works. It works.
Right.
It's all it does. I'm just hysterical. I cannot get over these little ugly little vehicles these ugly little people movers that I have. I needed this car. I mean, it helped me move.
Right.
Helped me move a house.
Sure.
And it was it. I didn't touch it the second I bought it up until this week.
Right.
And just to actually get under the hood and get familiar with it. You know you had to do that. You did it on your FJ. You got to pop the hood.
Yeah.
And you just got to get familiar with it. Like, where is everything? What does everything do? What kind of condition is stuff in? And that's what I was amazed at is even though this car had 78,000 miles on it and it was sitting for 5 years, you could tell it was never touched.
Yeah.
Like, maybe general maintenance. Maybe. But other than that, there was nobody messed with it. And that's what I totally appreciated about the car. Because usually you can tell if someone messes with it, a wire is hanging on an exhaust manifold or something is spinning and rubbing up against the hose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's always some sort of meat hook material in there.
Right.
There's always some doofus got in there before you and not on this one. Not on this one.
Well, yeah.
Everything was where it was supposed to be.
It was probably adult-owned and, you know, maybe a little old woman owned it and ran it to, you know, church and the market
probably.
And whatever. And, yeah, and that's the kind of vehicle you want to buy, you know. That's it.
Yeah, so I literally, while it was idling or waiting for it to idle down, I took an old toothbrush and added it right out of the bathroom, right off my vanity.
Yeah.
And I cleaned the steering wheel, like, because, of course, these O2, what would you say? Late 80s up to around 2005. All have these in the dash, all these little cracks and crevices that dirt likes to get into.
Right.
So you need that toothbrush.
Right.
And I'm in there just scrubbing away around the airbag on the steering wheel, just watching the tack.
Makes a big difference.
Taking all that crud out of the little console where the shifter is. Just, and it's like a mental thing, you know,
it's just
one of those little mental things. And you know what? Once I noticed that I had to get, once the check engine light came back on, I put the toothbrush down. I went to go take care of that.
I'll tell you.
Get back to it. Who knows?
If you've ever had your car in a body shop to have any kind of work done and they've detailed it, when you get it back, it happened to me. And I'm like, wow. this is great. I mean, I keep my car clean, but I said, you know what? I got to bring my car back to them once a year just to detail it. Because like you said, those little, it's like in the house too. Those little things where dust and dirt builds up that over time, you know, you accept it. It's not a big, I mean, you don't have gobs of mold hanging off your, you know, little right. stuff. Like you said, once you clean that off or somebody else does, now you really notice it and it looks like a new vehicle again. The little things make a big difference.
Yeah, it sure does. And I've seen those, and I know you have too. You've seen those car cleaning videos on YouTube.
Oh, sure. I've watched a few.
Yeah. And one of the things that they do that I've never even considered is they pull the seats out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They literally take the seats out of the car and then they start scrubbing the carpet.
You know, it's,
or they get the carpet out of the car.
Chris Fix did that on his sister's car. And he actually took a car and doctored it and made it dirty, you know, on one half, and then showed how to do, you know, how to clean. And literally, like you said, he pulled the seats out and he did a full thorough cleaning. He just did one on wheel cleaning if the brake dust was on there for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, of course, took the wheels off and did a comprehensive cleaning and shows all the products he used and likes. And, yeah, you can really get some good tips from stuff like that.
These I believe it. The only car I've ever pulled the seats out to clean it was that Corvette.
Oh.
Because there was dirt in there. I don't know what was
that was like
car.
My FJ. I took the interior out of that thing.
That's what it did.
Oh, my God. And, yeah, I know.
And this is the perfect weather to do so. Pull the carpet out of the car. Put it right on the asphalt driveway. Scrub the heck out of it with a scrub brush on a broomstick. And use whatever cleaner you can find. And then take it and just drape it over the picnic table or put it out in the lawn.
Yeah.
Let the sun dry it. It will dry.
Yes.
It will dry.
Yeah,
because that's what I did with that Corvette. It was the only time I could do it. It was in the middle of August. I pulled the interior out. I took the carpets out, and I scrubbed them. I didn't know. I thought they were black. I really thought they were black. They were gray.
Right.
I never realized it. I'm like, maybe they're two-tone, black on the bottom and gray on the top. No,
right.
The whole thing was gray, and I didn't realize it until like the third go-around with the scrub brush and whatever I was using, dish detergent or clothes detergent. I don't even remember what Mother Switzer's rug soap I used.
I was just talking to Doug yesterday. We were talking about making the black trim on the vehicles bright because it gets white and chalky. And I said, you know, look, I just did my FJ 2 weeks ago. It's all nice and black. I used a product that they use at the shop. It's a Lucas product, the Lucas detail. The Lucas line is phenomenal. Anything that goes in the engine or on the car is just top. That's what I used to clean the interior, too, when I did all that major the cleaning. And this stuff is so easy to use. You just kind of spray it on, and then you take like a soft cloth and wipe it in to disperse it and let it dry for a minute or two, and then just buff it off, and that's it. You're done. So,
that's great, because I have to do that on the Tracker, because the Tracker is silver, but the bumpers are supposed to be black, but they actually look silver because they're so chalky.
Let's go to the silver flashing light and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, what's going on? It's Hey Macho Man Brian.
Hey, Brian, how are you today?
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Hey, what's shaking, guys? Y'all having fun today? Staying cool?
Well, it's cool here in the studio. Yeah, it's you having fun ride? Are you driving the Bat Cycle today or anything or what?
No. I'm stuck in the office doing paperwork.
Stuff that I hate doing. Gotcha. Well, it's got to be done, right?
How warm is it down by you, Brian?
Oh, it's stinking hot. It's terrible.
I can't say I'm sorry to hear that because I'm sitting in a warm, kind of a cool basement. But it's I'm looking forward to getting back into the garage and into the heat again.
Yeah, well, when I moved in, the first thing I did in my garage was I heat and air conditioning. So the office is nice. So
right.
It's not too bad. When you talk about cleaning stuff and cleaning up, there's nothing like WD-40.
Yeah,
WD-40 is a great cleaner for all kinds of stuff. It does a lot of stuff that brings it back, and it's good. And
Well, and I'll tell you,
take care of the arthritis.
It's I hope so. It's great that the tool guy tells us this, because I did ask. I bought some tools off the red and white truck a couple of years ago, and I didn't like them. I said, you know what, these new handles, they're nice. They're red and they're rubbery, but they get dirty so fast when I'm working on stuff. And I said, I can't wipe this stuff off even when it's fresh. And he goes, no, you don't know the secret. I'm like, well, I guess not. And he reaches over an industrial giant size can of WD 40 and just spritz the handles, took a rag, wiped it, done. I was like, is that all you got to do? He's like, yeah, get a can of this. And he was right. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm sure it works I'm sure it works on the Matco stuff as well. Yeah.
Right. What do you recommend?
Like I said,
What would you recommend to clean WD-40 for? Like, you're going to clean something and you grab WD-40 the first thing. What would that thing be you're cleaning?
Pretty much everything.
You can even take labels off. It'll break down glue for labels. Yeah.
I clean up the toolboxes. I clean them up. I take label. You know, like you said, it loosens the glue, and a lot of sometimes it just takes it. I mean, it just takes any kind of plastic.
I was gonna say the plastic blow molded cases that the tools come in. It works on that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there something that you shouldn't clean with WD-40? How about that?
Your throat.
No, I need to. I've been coughing too much.
Just a guess here, guys. Just a guess.
I don't know. I really haven't found anything that I'm glad I didn't use it on. But, I am careful with any kind of fabric type stuff. But it will actually, if you got a stain in something that shouldn't have the stain in, it will take it out. I've made a few problems in the house and had to clean up before getting caught. So.
Oh, boy.
So, Brian, let me ask you this. Since it's a nice, light amber consistent, can you use it as a sandwich topping? I'm always open.
As much as I have it, and it's probably in the system from absorbing into my skin, I probably could get away with
it. Yeah,
that.
I know. Yeah, me too.
I love the smell of it, I'm kind of a hooked on it.
Hey, instead of oil and vinegar, a little WD. Kind of a little bit. Hey,
right. Let's save all the cards and letters.
Listen,
don't try this at home.
Salami and provolone on a hero. And WD-40 on that, please. Heavy, WD-40. What?
Right. We got to throw a disclaimer. The views and opinions of the Motor Mouth are not necessarily the views and opinions of this radio station.
Good idea. Individual. Yeah, good idea.
Right.
Oh, nice.
That's funny. But, yeah. So what else? I mean, just paperwork today, Brian, that's it?
Yeah, doing a little paperwork and, actually, I'm hopefully going to finish degreasing the 9-inch rear. Ray's been pushing and got me going, so... hopefully we can get the old Mustang back on the road.
I hope so.
And especially, with everything that's gone on and, it's been sitting for 30 years.
Yeah, good time to get up and do something. You're right.
I got to get it going, and I've been cleaning up parts and pieces and finding stuff. You know, you think you have it all together and you open this drawer up and find a handful of stuff that it's kind of amazing. I'm trying to keep all that stuff together, but
right.
I figure with the weather, how hot it is, once I put the stripper on, it will strip it.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I want to do? I want to play another John clip, Brian. These two were taken from a bigger one that you're in. It was about the Sopranos and how you walked through a shop. And so we're going to save that maybe for next week. But this is just, it's like 40 seconds. It's a little early for us to go out, but John would always, the history is, Chris, of course, you always came up with the tagline years ago, don't follow us home. You did that many years ago. So John started adopting it. So, of course, I started saying, it's John, tell us what Chris always says, what you say, and then now Brian does it. We have Justin doing it. So now I don't know. I lose track of who's doing it. But
I love it.
But I think John did it in a certain way that was just, you had to love it. So let me just play. Brian, you hang on the line and listen to this, and you can feel free to comment. Right. This was a good one. Let's kick it off right now.
John, what do you always say that Chris always says?
Don't even think of following us home.
unless you've got funny bones.
He woke right up.
Funny bones.
Funny bones.
And ice cold milk.
There we go.
Or I'll take Reese's peanut butter cups.
That's good.
And since Easter just passed, if you still have a chocolate bunny.
I got a white chocolate bunny.
Solid, though. Not the hollow, the cheap hollow ones. It's got to be solid.
I got some leftover cookies, too, so I'm eating
those. Yeah.
My wife got me a nice, solid milk chocolate bunny.
Delicious. Nice.
Last night, I opened it up, and I broke off the ears. Had them while I was watching.
It's good. He forgets.
Oh, my God.
John did exactly what we did. He just forgot what he was, what show he was watching. But I like hearing how I'm. I feel like I'm ready to. I don't know. You think I'm ready to like just go to sleep? I don't know, Brian. So Brian, that's that's the magic. That's the magic that happens. But you got to stay late to hear it. So
yeah. No, I tell you, I've between you guys talking about food and then after we get off the air. I've gained another 10 pounds. I don't lose anything, for sure. I tell you.
We've all fallen prey to that, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But it was, like I said, it's just way too soon, and it's just amazing, you know, the people that we meet and all the knowledge. It's amazing.
Right.
And I run into this, you know, the 20 years that I've been selling tools and all the people that I run into and different shop owners and you know, generations of people that ran a shop and the knowledge and the things that people did. And it's just amazing of the loss. And everybody goes too soon. I mean, you know.
You know, Brian.
It's just amazing.
I think what that should teach us all is that we all have something to give. We all have something to teach. And if we don't pay that forward and pass it on, then you know, knowing that we can do it, then we're at fault. So I think we should take a page from all those books and say, hey, that's a good reason to kind of pay it forward and not be stingy. Because, hey, you know, we all know guys who want to take it with them. You know what? You take it with you, great. But you know what? Wouldn't it be better to leave it as a legacy?
Yeah, you do a disservice when you take it with you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're right.
It's true.
Not to get all worked up on it, but it's a shame. And like I said, there's a lot of knowledge and, you know, it's just amazing. There's a lot, you know, it's just like this morning when I went up to see the hot rods.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of guys there, and some people will never talk to you or you'll never say hey, and you don't know what you're missing just sharing that moment.
That could be a great interaction. You're right. And speaking of that, I have to mention, next weekend again, there's going to be another Cars and Coffee at Celebrity Chase Collision in Oceanside. It's on the 14th. 476 Merrick Road, Oceanside. That's where I hang out and do my best stuff. That's where the cars are, where your cars are the stars. So next Sunday morning from 10 to 2. And we get a little later start up here on Long Island than you do, Brian. You guys are out there early. Which I guess we sleep in a little bit.
We gotta beat the heat, and we gotta get the grass cut, and we gotta get ready, you know.
Yeah.
We don't have the life of luxury like you guys up there.
Right.
But no, seriously guys, I want you all to be safe. I wanna let you guys, you're getting close to wrapping it up.
Yep.
It's always great hearing from you guys and talking and listen. And you know, you guys be safe, stay cool, and I'll be listening.
Thanks, Brian.
We appreciate
you too. Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right. So long.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
All righty. That was Matt Goman Brian from down in Maryland.
Yeah,
so
those are kind words. Kind words from a fallen fellow, which...
Yeah.
So and it's he's right. Share the wealth. It's the best thing to do. I think it is. It's like you say, right? You leave a legacy of wisdom and that you share with others. I think it's selfish when you take it with you sometimes.
You're right.
And that's what I love about what we do here.
This has always been a sharing platform, right?
Right. And just for the fact that we leave the platform open for others to share their wisdom and how you guys do the same thing on a Thursday night, I think it's extraordinary and it should carry on.
Right. And we'll try as long as we can. We haven't given up yet. So,
no.
you know? So that's it.
I've tried to give up. I think you keep dragging me back.
I know. All right, so we've played John doing this a couple times. We saved Justin maybe for next week, but it is time for us to get out of here because Kim is coming in, so we have to clear the studio out and make room for Kim's show because Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen Roll, because that's important. So let's go back to the original and tell us, Chris, what do I tell these guys in the parking lot when I get out there?
Saying it for Chassis John. This one's for you, brother. Don't follow us home.
Exactly.
Unless you got ding-dongs or ring-dings.
Ding-dongs.
Yeah, because he was easily sold.
Right, yeah, man, me too. All right.
He was easily bought, I should say.
Right. So for Chris Switzer, Reg Guarino, Motormouth Radio, we'll see you next week. Chris, we'll talk to you soon. Good luck.
See you, bye.
All right, and we'll see you then. 90.3 WHBC. See ya.